In discussions on evangelism, it's common to hear the phrase, "We just want to reach people who don't know Jesus." This is a good intention, but this statement makes the problem to be one of ignorance. People don't know because they've just never heard the gospel. For some, this is certainly true. They've never heard the name of Jesus and know nothing of his mercy. But certainly not everybody is in this camp. For many, many people, especially in the United States, a land that has had the gospel proclaimed in it since before its official existence, a land possessing instant communication abilities, the problem is not always ignorance. It's unbelief in a message heard many times. It's not that people don't know, they don't believe. Making the diagnosis one of unbelief puts the problem in the heart, not the head, and honestly shows what the evangelist is up against. It's not innocent ignorance one is fighting in the mission field. It's satanic unbelief. We help no one if we mischaracterize the person we are trying to reach. True evangelism must acknowledge the true nature of people. Our natures are corrupted by sin so bad, we are dead apart from divine aid. Unbelief is not an innocent, neutral state oscillating between two kingdoms until a decision is made. It's a work nourished by Satan, which the church must properly understand as she engages the world with the pure word of God. That will convert the stiff, rotting heart. Faith comes by hearing the word of Christ, because only he can fix the heart and drive out Satan. Only his word can illuminate the dark place and create trust in him for life beyond the grave. It may sound nicer to make the problem ignorance rather than satanic power. Maybe we don't want to offend the wrong person, and so we soften our speech to carry the day. But Jesus wasn't fooled by men, and he cared more about preaching the truth than hurt feelings. Though the Pharisees tried to trap him in his words, their question, "By what authority do you do these things, and who gave you this authority?" is countered with another question. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man? Jesus' question jams them between a rock and a hard place. They can either tick off the crowd by saying John's baptism was from man, or be accused of unbelief if they say it was from heaven. Instead of an honest answer, they weigh the consequences and decide to feign ignorance. "We do not know," they say. Without any context, we might conclude that they were truly ignorant. But many other scriptural passages, along with Jesus' words here in this text, indicate the problem, again, isn't ignorance, it's unbelief. It's not that they don't know. They don't want to say what they really think, and Jesus doesn't buy it. Jesus won't answer their question because they refuse to answer his. They know. They saw John. They perceived John and his work. His was the way of righteousness, and he was the forerunner to Jesus, in many ways the last of the Old Testament prophets. John preached, he baptized, he pointed to Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John was loud about this. Repent and believe in him, Jesus, the Son of God, through whom mankind has unbridled access to the Father. Rejecting John and his testimony was rejecting Jesus. And here the unbelief of the Pharisees is uncovered by Jesus, who says to them, "Even when seeing, you did not believe." The good, pious keepers of the law, champions of Moses and self-righteousness, the upright ones of society who disdained nasty harlots and filthy tax collectors, it would seem outwardly that they would be the first in line to access heaven. But Jesus says harlots and tax collectors go before them, and the reason is faith. They believed John, while the outwardly pious Pharisees did not. And that's the real separation between the Pharisee and other sinners. The tax collectors and harlots heard John, and they believed. Faith was kindled, whereas the Pharisees remained dead in sin. Jesus again teaches us, life in the kingdom of God doesn't always go to those who seem to have it all together. Who would think that the harlot on the street corner during the midnight hours in Las Vegas could end up a child of God, or the inmate on death row sentenced for multiple murders? But it does happen, as it did in Jesus' day. People with gross public sins hear the word and are driven to repentance and faith in God who saves. This is a good reason to pause before assuming someone who doesn't go to church is a lost cause, or the person who looks like utter failure, who struggles with gross outward sins, but is a child of God who struggles and clings to God's mercy in Jesus. Harlots are guilty of horrific sins, yes, yet true faith in Christ means sins are obliterated, washed away, and forgotten by God. And this is perhaps the true comfort in this text, that even outward gross sinners can be brought to repentance through preaching. Faith is kindled by God's Spirit, who always accompanies His Word, and the sinner is justified, forgiven, and sanctified by God. When it says John comes in the way of righteousness, that means he came in the way of God. He is sent by the righteous one, and he preaches the righteousness of God imparted to you through faith in the Lamb slain for your justification. God justifies you in Christ. He calls you righteous because you live in Him, the righteous one. And this has tremendous bearing on how you live, as faith generates works pleasing to God. But before God, your justification, your righteousness is only because of Him. When we say Christ alone, that means the sinner is saved by Christ alone, apart from any work offered to appease God's wrath for sin. It is the work of Jesus ascending to the cross, which has atoned for your sin. Faith. Faith means you trust in Him and are one with Him. So the Father looks at you and sees not your sin, but He sees the righteousness of His Son covering you completely. The harlot brought to repentance and faith is covered completely. The tax collector brought to repentance and faith is covered completely. You, dear Christian, are covered completely by faith in Jesus, who is your righteous garment, covering all of your sins before the Father. This is what it means to be justified in Christ. You are righteous in Him, and this promise is yours by faith that comes from hearing. When it comes to evangelism, we should properly identify the problem. It's so very often not ignorance, but unbelief. The same unbelief witnessed in this text, and the Pharisees heard, but rejected God's revelation and the Word made flesh. This is not a reason to mourn and be afraid, that we have been given the very same Word as that preached by John the Baptist means we have the same Word that can bring even the worst sinners to faith in Jesus and a life pleasing to God. To misdiagnose the problem means we might get the false impression that the problem, the reason people refuse to bear the name of God in faith, is because they're not stimulated enough in worship, the evangelist isn't nice enough, or if we had better rhetorical skills and weren't so dogmatic and firm about the teachings of Scripture, then the unbeliever would be more likely to believe. An honest introspection of ourselves is not necessarily a bad thing, but we also shouldn't be too quick to blame the church for the reason people stay away. Often the rejection is precisely because the church is doing her job. The gospel is being preached, the sacraments are being rightly administered, and because of that, the offense of the cross is on full display, and the world retaliates with vengeance. Yet it will happen when those in the world will hear the pure word of God And as the Spirit blows where he wishes, people will be converted and brought into the kingdom for eternity. Tax collectors and harlots get in by faith, because faith justifies, because faith receives Christ and his gifts. Let us rejoice in this, because this glorious doctrine means we don't have to wonder, search, and doubt how we stand before God. When our sins grieve us, remember, you have a Savior who brings people to repentance and faith in him to know it's okay. It's all right. Everything really is fine. Because your God lives beyond the tomb, and so do you. The blood of Jesus covers all sin, even sins like those of tax collectors and prostitutes. His gospel will continue to go forth, and by his Holy Spirit, sinners will be brought to faith. May we continue to hear that word of God, to speak it, and find comfort in it, knowing our sins, your sins, do not condemn you in Christ, but you are forgiven. And God's peace in Christ already is in your possession. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which truly does surpass all human understanding, that peace, his peace that only he gives, may that peace guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now until that promised, sure, and certain, blessed life everlasting. Amen.